Welcome to Storytime by Chava. Today we are starting Once Upon a Journey, Volume 2 by Rabbi Zalman Ruderman, and we are up to Chapter 61, A Secret Mission. Baruch HaVayezhin greatly respected the opinion of his elderly friend Reb Nachum, who, as it turned out, was a Nister and a Mekubal. Baruch happily agreed to Nachum's suggestion of a Shidduch, and before long he found himself standing under the chuppah together with the orphaned daughter of Rabbi Yosef the oven builder. After his passing, it was revealed to Baruch that Rabbi Yosef had in fact been a hidden tzaddik. In the past, Baruch had spent hours chopping wood and then selling the bundles for a few pennies so that he could buy food to eat. Now, however, the newly married Reb Baruch opened a lumber business, selling wood, and hired others to chop the wood for him. Reb Baruch saw great blessing in his work, and within a short time he grew wealthy and successful. He was soon able to buy a large selection of the forest, and thus his business grew larger than ever before. Reb Baruch created a large estate near Smil. He built many homes in which he housed the Jews who came to work for him. Reb Baruch built a beautiful beis medrash for the workmen whom he supported. He then gathered 10 batlanim. In those days, the term batlanim referred to talmidei chachamim who devoted themselves entirely to the study of Torah. Batlanim and their families were supported by local communities or by the generous donations of wealthy individuals who were more than happy to support the study of Torah. Reb Baruch did not reveal to anyone that he possessed broad knowledge of Kabbalah. Nevertheless, his home was open wide for the hidden tzaddikim. These Nistarim continually traveled from one place to another, working mainly among the Jews of the villages and forests. During their journeys, many of these tzaddikim made a point of visiting Reb Baruch. One Nister, Reb Aaron the tailor, was a regular guest at Reb Baruch's home. Aaron told Baruch all about his own teacher, Rav Yael, who was known as the Baal Shem of Zamach. Baruch was so excited by the wonderful things Aaron the tailor told him that he decided to travel to Zamach and meet Rav Yael Baal Shem for himself. Baruch traveled to the Baal Shem and remained there for 6 months. During this time, he grew deeply attached to Rav Yael the sage and drank thirstily from his fountains of Torah and wisdom. When Baruch returned to his estate, his shining face was evident to all that his trip had been extremely successful. After Baruch's trip to Zamach, he slowly and carefully began to introduce the teachings of Kabbalah to the 10 batlanim whom he supported in his base medrash. And in due time, Baruch's estate grew into a major center for the study of Kabbalah. Reb Baruch's friendship with the hidden tzaddikim continued to deepen. His new spiritual heights did not distract him from running his business and supporting his fellow Jews. In fact, Hashem blessed him even more than before, and he grew extremely wealthy. Institutions of Torah and Chesed, as well as a very large number of individual Jews, greatly benefited from Baruch's success. Baruch and his wife were blessed with 2 sons, whom they named Yosef and Avraham. Baruch lived in his estate near the city of Smil for approximately 15 years. Then, one day, Baruch decided to leave. He provided a house with a garden to each of the 10 batlanim. He also gave generous donations to the Jewish community of Smil. Once he was certain that no one would be harmed by his departure, Baruch and his family moved away from their home and built a new home just a few miles from the city of Slutsk. At that time, the people of Slutsk were strongly opposed to the Nistarim. It was known that the learned men of the city refused to accept any opinion that did not fit with their own. Any mention of the Nistarim or their leaders would be met with ridicule and disgust. When they caught someone whom they suspected was a Nister, or who was discovered as being friendly with the Nistarim, the residents of Slutsk would angrily drive that person out of their city in public disgrace. Baruch chose to settle near Slutsk because he had a long-term goal in mind. He hoped to slowly extinguish the flame of hatred that the people of Slutsk held for the Nistarim. He had no illusions. It was clear that it would take a long time to undermine the roots of the opposition. He had to think of a secret plan that would slowly change how the residents of Slutsk felt. Baruch bought many houses near his new home, and he built a beis medrash and a guest house. He gathered another 10 batlanim to study Torah in his beis medrash without having to worry about earning a livelihood. Baruch supported them and their families generously. Baruch had brought one of the batlanim from his former beis medrash to his new estate. This batlan, Reb Meisha, was a brilliant scholar. He was also a follower of Reb Yael of Zalmuch. Baruch planned to open a yeshiva in his new location. For years, Reb Baruch had wanted to teach Torah classes to his students. Now he decided the time had finally arrived. He appointed Reb Menashe and his three sons to direct the new yeshiva, while he personally gave the shiurim. This unique yeshiva was not for just anyone who wanted to study. There were strict guidelines for acceptance. Only students between the ages of 15 and 16 could enroll. Each student had to agree to remain in the yeshiva for a period of 6 years, and no student was allowed to leave the yeshiva even once during his 6 years of study. In its first year, the yeshiva accepted only 26 students. Each year, additional students were accepted. Reb Baruch did not rush to influence the community of Slutsk. His plan required great patience. Only after the residents of Slutsk had become familiar with his own reputation and that of his excellent yeshiva, did he begin to work toward his ultimate goal. Slowly but surely, he taught the Torah's hidden wisdom to the young students of his yeshiva. Since they could not leave the building, nobody on the outside realized that a fundamental change had taken place in the hearts of the students who had begun to study Kabbalah. When the first term of 6 years had been completed, the original 26 students graduated from Reb Baruch's yeshiva. Only then did the change become noticeable.